Jesus, my Lord, I'm so thankful you've given me a voice to speak today and a heart that's beating, and you've given me health today, and all those who are listening, I thank you that you control all things. As the scripture says, you're before all things, and that by you all things consist. All things are held together, including my soul. Everything is held together by you, Jesus. It is the great secret and mystery of the world that you've revealed through your word, through your life on this earth, that you are the one that's behind the scenes in control. And I pray that you'd bless the words of my mouth, that they would be really just repeating what you've already said, Jesus. In your name, amen. I just really want to emphasize and celebrate what Jesus did for every human being that's ever lived on planet Earth. Jesus says something very interesting in Matthew 7. He says, in Matthew 7:13, he says, "Enter ye through the straight gate, for broad is the way that leads to destruction, and narrow is the way that leads to life." And he said that broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many go in that way. And then he says, narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. So I'm kind of quoting off the top of my head, but the ultimate end point of those words from our Master Jesus Christ, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and Omega, is this: the default place, the place that most people go to, is hell. I want you to hear that again. The default place that people go to is hell. Well, where did you get that from? Jesus said, many people go towards the broad way. That's the easy way. That's the easy way. He says, but the difficult way, difficult, straight and difficult, is a way to life. And few find that. You see, the way to hell is effortless. Listen to me. The way to hell is effortless. It is default. You don't have to do anything except be you to go to hellfire. It is an effortless place to go. It is the route and destiny of most people you've seen today. And it is the route and destiny that you and me were on. Except Christ, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, Yeshua, intervened with his blood, his sweat, and his tears to make it so that when you die, if you've been genuinely converted and born again, that when you die, your eyes will open to quality, everlasting immortality. You will live forever, and you won't be floating around in some ethereal, mysterious place. You'll remember exactly the life you lived on earth. You'll be able to talk directly to God. We see all this from Revelation chapter 6. We see all this in Revelation chapter 20 and 21 and 22. We know what the afterlife to some extent will be like. And one thing is for sure, is you will resemble a person. You will be able to communicate with God. You'll remember what's going on here on earth. You'll remember your life. You'll be able to eat. You'll be able to taste. You'll be able to touch. You'll be able to do things. Physical things, and your life will be extended forever. I mean, it is amazing what we have. We will live in peace and joy. Peace and joy. My goodness, Jesus Christ did that for you and for me. He was bruised for our iniquities. He was wounded for our transgressions. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. But there's another category. And Jesus talks about this group in Luke 16.
that they live life, and they may hold some of the same doctrines, they may hold Christian doctrines, they may hold Christian principles and Christian worldviews, they may be ethical people, they may be kind and moral people, but at the end of the day, they're unconverted, default sinners, just like me and you were. And when they die, they will wake up in hellfire. In Luke 16, when Jesus describes the true account, the real account of the rich man and Lazarus, he describes the rich man as a man who clearly was not rich towards God, clearly did not have saving faith in God. And he died with all of his iPads and iPhones, with all of his degrees, with all of his job promotions, with all of his houses and his income and his large bank account and all of his material possessions, all the clothes he needed, the cars he needed. He died. And you know what it says in Luke 16? It says he lifted his eyes in the hellfire. He lifted his eyes in hell. That is the scariest thing I could imagine. To die and lift up in hell. Lift your eyes up in hell. And you know when Jesus describes him, he looks like he's alone. Now let me tell you something. Hell is not an empty place by far. Hell, the Bible says that hell is enlarging herself. Hell is huge. 250,000 people on average die every single day. And let me tell you, as Jesus indicated, many are called and few are chosen. As Jesus indicated, most of those people are in hell right now. Most of those people are coming to be aware of the shocking truth that this life that they lived actually mattered. This life that they live has eternal consequence to it. I mean, you wouldn't even think that, right? You don't think that when you're interacting in your relationships, or you're doing your taxes, or you're going where you want to go to, and entertaining yourself the way you want to entertain yourself. The world, you don't think that this life that we live has eternal consequences to it, but it does have eternal consequences to it. And this rich man lifted up his eyes in hell, and he was by himself. And though hell is filled with people, he's depicted as by himself because hell is a lonely place. You're away from, you're cut off from God. It is a place of total torment. Let me tell you something. If you can listen to Biggie Smalls, if you can listen to Tupac, if you can hear Steve Jobs, people who professed to not believe and have saving faith in Jesus Christ, if you could hear them right now, do you know what you'd be hearing? You'd be hearing weeping and wailing and screaming and gnashing of teeth if they never accepted Jesus Christ on their deathbed or at the moment of death. If you could listen to them right now, you would hear screaming and yelling, and they know exactly why. They know exactly it has everything to do with the life that they live. And Luke 16 teaches that if they had the opportunity, they would warn their friends about this place. Jesus Christ purchased heaven. He purchased a detour from that route to hell. He's purchased a detour for us and to a narrow road that leads to life for all who want it. But if all you care about is this fleeting, temporary life that will go away in a second, goodness. New phone coming out. It's the biggest thing since sliced bread. Oh, 6 months have passed. That phone's not really cutting edge anymore. Look at this person. They're the most attractive person ever. Some years have passed by and there's younger people who are more attractive. The world is passing. It can't keep up. It just keeps on finding things and finding things to satisfy. Nothing lasts forever here. Jesus says, if you could gain the whole world, or what would it profit you to gain the whole world and lose your soul? Why would you want to have any stake in a world that is passing and that you're going to leave one day? Whether that be a car accident, whether that be a stroke or a heart attack, whether that be cancer, this life is a temporary life. And Jesus has died on the cross. And then he took all of our sins to make our flesh be crucified, that our sins would die along with it. And he rose again on the third day to show that what he did was real. And he wasn't just some false prophet going around claiming that he had a relationship with God and it didn't mean anything. He rose again on the third day to prove to everyone that when he said it was finished on that cross and that you were forgiven and that everything in your life, things you haven't done yet, all of it has been wiped clean, erased, that when he rose from the dead, he can say, I meant every word of it. And now you have a future. You are going to live forever. You're going to live forever. You're going to live forever. 5 million years from now, you'll be able to have a smile on your face. You'll be able to go talk with God alone and have a good conversation with him. You'll be able to be around all your loved ones who are saved and born again. You're going to have amazing fellowship. You're going to live in the New Jerusalem, the New Eden. And there's so many exciting things for us. And it's all because one man, one God man, Jesus Christ, laid it all down for us. And that's why he says, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. He loved us. He loved us. Now, is it any wonder why he says, here's what I want you to do now. You received this gift. You received what I've done for you. Your sins have been paid for. Nasty things that you've done, even after you've said that you've known me, even after you have been born again and baptized and converted, all of those things are wiped clean. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to love. I want you to first love me, the Father, the Son, and then I want you to love your neighbor. That's all I want you to do. He says, you'll abide in my love if you keep my commandments, as I kept my Father's commandments and abided in his love. If we love, we abide and remain and we walk in that love that Jesus demonstrated when he was tortured and crushed so that we could get off that path that most people on this planet are on towards hell. So we have a lot of thinking to do, myself included. We have to love. We must ask Jesus Christ for the power to love. And, you know, the gospel which I just shared with you, believing on Jesus Christ, that we could live forever, repenting of your sins, it's deep. It just keeps getting deep. But I want to share something else with you that I shared before. One of the gifts that Jesus has given us at conversion, probably one of the most amazing gifts, is a special person, and his name is the Holy Ghost. And he is responsible for helping us live the life that Jesus Christ asks and commands us to live. He alone is the one that enables us, empowers us to bear fruit. Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It says in the scriptures that we have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Jesus has given us this person, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus says that he will show you all things that he sees me and my Father do. He will glorify me. The Holy Spirit is an amazing person, and Jesus gave us the Holy Ghost at conversion. He gave us the Holy Ghost. If you are born again, you have the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1:13 says that we've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. He's a down payment. He is the promise that I know I'm going to heaven when I die. He's the witness because this person lives in me and he's bearing fruit in me. Another great, 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 great gift from believing in Jesus Christ is immortality. You have immortality and you have the Holy Ghost living inside of you. And he lifts up Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? So, just wanted to encourage you with just some of these thoughts. I hope you have a blessed day. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the truth of the gospel. And I ask that the Holy Ghost, that he would, Jesus, that you would cause us through him to be pleasing to you, to help our minds. Because even after a meditation like this, we'll still go and think crazy things and be tempted to do really bad things. And we just have this ugly, nasty flesh. We still have the world that tries to persuade us that wickedness is attractive and that it's better. We have the enemy that's still trying to persuade us that rebelling against you and doing what we want is better and it's attractive. But Jesus, I ask that by the Holy Spirit, you would show us that you are the living water, that you are the bread of life, and that you alone satisfy beyond anything we can have here on this planet. That all satisfaction is in you. That your pleasures are in your right hand forevermore. Please help us to walk in that, Jesus. In your name, amen.